This is VOA News. I'm Michael Brown. Donald Trump's conviction in his New York hush money trial makes him the first former American president to be found guilty of felony crimes. The Republican presidential candidate spoke to reporters outside the courthouse after the verdict.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people.
The jury's judgment Thursday closed a trial centered on claims of sex and financial cover-ups and exposes Trump to prison time. The sentencing date is set for July the 11th. Former President Donald Trump, AP correspondent Sagar Magani now reports Chief Justice John Roberts is rejecting requests from the Senate Democrats to discuss Supreme Court ethics and the controversy over flags that flew outside Justice Samuel Alito's homes.
The flags are like those carried by Capitol rioters. Two Senate Judiciary Committee Democrats asked Roberts for the meeting a week ago and wanted him to ensure that Alito recused himself from any high court cases concerning the riot or Donald Trump's bids to overturn his election loss. Roberts declined the meeting and noted justices decide for themselves when to step aside from cases. Alito told House and Senate lawmakers yesterday he will not recuse. Sagar Magani, Washington.
And for details on much more news, as always, we invite you to join us at our website, that is voanews.com, also on the VOA mobile app. This is VOA News. The United States announced Thursday it had given Ukraine permission to use U.S.-supplied weapons to target Russia, but only near Kharkiv, Ukraine's second-largest city. The decision marks a major policy shift. President Biden had refused to allow Ukraine to use American weapons for assaults inside Russian territory. The policy of not allowing long-range strikes inside Russia with U.S.-supplied weapons, however, remains unchanged. A third U.S. dairy worker tested positive for bird flu after exposure, that is, to infected cows, according to officials speaking on Thursday. In an interview with the Associated Press, Michigan's chief medical executive, Dr. Natasha Bagdasarian, says this worker in Michigan had respiratory symptoms where the previous cases were just eye irritations, but it's too soon to say if the virus is mutating.
We're carefully doing investigations and looking for what types of exposure are greatest risk for people. But if you can imagine, these are much larger animals than poultry, which has been infected in the past. When you're working with infected bovines, there's a different type of risk, different type of secretions and fluids that you may be coming into contact with. And so as a consequence, we may see different types of exposures leading to infection.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said the latest case does not change its assessment that bird flu is a low risk to the general public. Partial results in South Africa's national election have put the long-ruling African National Congress at least less than 50% of the vote. It raises the possibility that the ANC might lose its majority for the first time since it swept to power under Nelson Mandela at the end of apartheid in 1994. The final results of Wednesday's vote could bring the biggest political shift in South Africa's young democracy. We're expected to take days, the Independent Electoral Commission says they will be announced on Sunday. Well, the AP's Norman Hall reports on the outcome of the Scripps National Spelling Bee here in the U.S.
Bruhat Soma was unbeatable before he arrived at the Scripps National Spelling Bee, and neither the dictionary nor his competitors nor a lightning round tiebreaker challenged him on the way to victory. Bruhat spelled 29 words correctly in the tiebreaker, beating Faison Zaki by 9 to win the title. He receives the trophy and more than $50,000 in cash and prizes. The 12-year-old 7th grader from Tampa, Florida, had won 3 consecutive Bs before arriving at this year's competition in suburban Washington. I'm Norman Hall.
As always, for details on much more news, we invite you to join us at our website. That is voanews.com, also on the VOA mobile app. I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
today, Brett Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today is Friday, May 31st, and here are some of the stories we are following. Former President Donald Trump is convicted by a New York jury on all 34 felony counts.
The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people.
The U.S. sanctioned Uganda's Speaker of Parliament and six others for alleged corruption. Zambian authorities arrest civil society and opposition lawmaker on espionage charges. Kenyan MPs probe alleged British Army crimes. The ANC takes the lead in early results from South Africa's presidential and provincial election.
The ANC was expected to be in the lead. The ANC is followed by the DA, and the third party would be EFF or the MK party.
And today is World No Tobacco Day. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's thoughts are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Former President Donald Trump on Thursday was convicted of all 34 counts in his New York City trial. He was convicted of falsified business records in connection with hush money payments to an adult film performer ahead of the 2016 election. Details from VOA's Chief National Correspondent Steve Herman in Washington.
For the first time in American history, a former president has been convicted of criminal charges. After deliberations spanning 2 days, a 12-member jury told the court it had found Donald Trump guilty on all of the 34 counts. After emerging from the courtroom, a somber Trump told reporters there will be an appeal because, in his words, this was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt.
The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people.
November 5th is Election Day, when Trump and President Joe Biden are set to be on the ballot for a rematch of the 2020 election, which Trump lost. A Biden campaign statement says there is only one way to keep Trump as a convicted felon from returning to the Oval Office of the White House, and that is at the ballot box. Steve Herman, VOA News, Washington.
For more on the felony guilty verdict of former President Donald Trump, VOA's Kinodu Ofor spoke with VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson. She says members of Congress, especially from the Republican Party, say the trial was not fair.
We've seen so many unprecedented moments with former President Donald Trump, but I think this was the one moment when I saw the most instantaneous reaction from lawmakers on Capitol Hill. So many congressional Republicans ready to defend the former president, calling this a sham trial, saying that the judge and the jury in this case were biased, and saying that it was a case put forward by Democrats to make sure that the former president would not win again in November. So a lot of congressional lawmakers on the Republican side rushing to defend President Donald Trump.
Going forward, how is Congress likely to handle this? Or are they able to do anything at all?
You know, they really aren't. Because of the checks and balances in the U.S. system, the legislative branch, which is the U.S. Congress is a part of, is separate from the judicial branch in this country. They can certainly register their displeasure with the verdict, but ultimately they're not going to be able to interfere with the appeals process that former President Trump is almost certain to launch. Where that case will go is to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is the highest court in the land. They will likely be ultimately called upon to decide this case.
President Biden has weighed in on this, a statement saying no one is above the law, but acknowledging that Americans will ultimately decide during the election on what happens. What are you hearing?
You know, the U.S. Congress won't have anything to do with this, but the American people will when they go to the ballot box in November. A lot of people's minds are already made up in this country. We have very, very decided voters for President Biden, very decisive voters for former President Trump. There's only really a small sliver of voters in this country that still haven't made up their minds. And those people who are living in the important swing states that will decide this election, a handful of states, four or five, could be very important. And it could be that much harder for them to vote for former President Donald Trump, now knowing that he is a convicted felon, the very first in American history.
That was VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson speaking with my colleague Chinedu Ofor. Vote counting continues in South Africa's presidential and provincial elections. Early results posted on the website of the Independent Electoral Commission, the IEC, show the African National Congress, the ANC, with 42.54%, followed by the Democratic Alliance with 23.97%, the Umkhonto weSizwe or MK Party with 9.83%, and the Economic Freedom Fighters, the EFF, with 9.37%. Only 9,314 out of 23,293 voting districts have been counted. Professor Sipo Sipie is a political analyst and a former deputy vice chancellor for institutional support at the University of Zululand. He tells me the race is on for which parties will be part of the coalition government in the event the ANC does not win an absolute victory.
The ANC is in the lead, and the ANC was expected to be in the lead. And then the ANC is followed by the DA, which has been the main opposition party. And then the third party would be EFF or the MK party. All these parties have run a very spirited campaign. The EFF has been very strong because despite the ANC running a spirited campaign, it is the very same ANC that has failed the people, and both the EFF and the DA, Democratic Alliance, were able to exploit the failures of the ANC. In that regard, when you listen to young people in this country, they talk about change. This is why this election are seen as a game changers. Actually, for many people, they say the sense of excitement is similar to 1994. And we've seen the expression of that with the number of people who have come out to vote. According to the IEC, they're talking about 60% voters coming out.
Professor, I look at the Electoral Commission map. I see a lot of green representing the ANC and a lot of yellow representing the DA party. I see also red in some parts of the country. Which parts of the country are their strongholds?
Well, the stronghold of the ANC is in the outlying provinces. Provinces like Limpopo, where the ANC has always gotten above 70%. And at the moment, it's getting around 72. That's the projection. And it could even go higher. It's also northwest. There are outlying areas which are sparsely populated. But the real votes will come from two provinces, or at least three provinces. It will be the Gauteng and the KwaZulu-Natal. Those two constitute almost 50% of the votes. So ultimately, when the tally comes, it will be what happens in those two provinces. And the Western Cape has always been a stronghold of the DA, and it will continue to be a stronghold of the DA. But those who are in the space of projection are beginning to say, in terms of what they see and the pattern, they see the ANC going as far as 42%, followed by the DA at 22%, followed by MK at 13%, and followed by the EFF. Those are the four main parties that may be part of the parties that will form coalitions.
Professor Sipo Sipe is a political analyst and a former deputy vice chancellor for institutional support at the University of Zululand. He was speaking with us from Johannesburg. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today is Friday, May 31st. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. The U.S. government has barred several current and former Ugandan officials from visiting the United States for alleged involvement in significant corruption or gross violation of human rights. The State Department statement said Thursday the U.S. has also imposed visa restrictions on other Ugandan officials for undermining the democratic process and repressing members of marginalized or vulnerable populations in Uganda. For reaction, VOA's Douglas Mpuga reached Wilfred Mwangaba, a Ugandan opposition member of parliament and shadow attorney general.
Of course, the country is respective sovereignty, and each country has its own rules, and it is up to specific countries to determine who is a guest that can be admitted and who is not. And for us who have always been human rights defenders, we welcome sanctions against those involved in human rights violations and corruption and the like. I, however, hope that the State Department that issued the sanctions, particularly against those alleged to be involved in corruption, have got sufficient evidence to pin them.
This follows the sanctions from the United Kingdom a short while ago. Is corruption a big issue, especially that as now that involves the Speaker of Parliament?
Definitely, corruption has been a very huge issue in our country, and it has not spared any of the arms of government. And as I've said, as long as there is evidence, we will come sanctions against those involved in corruption.
And is the Uganda government itself doing enough to fight corruption?
As you may have read in the various media, the government of Uganda, yes, has institutions to fight corruption, but the feeling among the majority is that they only target the small fish and leave the big fish to swim and continue involving themselves in the corrupt practices. We would actually want the American government and other governments to widen the net and go for the big fish involved in the corruption, be it in the executive, in the legislature, and the judiciary, because the corruption is a cancer. And we would also want it to go and widen the net against those involved in the violation of our people's human rights and lawful detention, arbitrary killings, and the like. And we believe that maybe in the long run, those engaged in the violation of human rights and those engaged in the brand theft of public resources will find nowhere to hide.
Wilfred Mwangaba is a Ugandan opposition member of parliament and shadow attorney general. He spoke with my colleague Douglas Mpuga by phone from Kampala. Police in Zambia have arrested two opposition lawmakers, two opposition party leaders, and an activist on espionage charges. This follows their earlier allegations via social media that the government was involved in the alleged abduction of independent lawmaker J.J. Banda last week. Kathy Shaw reports from Lusaka, Zambia.
Zambian police spokesperson Danny Mwale confirmed to journalists in Lusaka on Thursday the arrest of five people, opposition lawmakers Munia Zulu and Maureen Mabonga, along with opposition activist Brepna Changala and opposition party chiefs Edith Nawakwi and Danny Pole.
Police have today, May 30, 2024, given the suspects additional offenses of espionage and proposing tribal war. Honorable Munia Zulu, Maureen Mabonga, Edith Nawakwi, and Brebna Changala have all been charged and arrested for espionage, contrary to Section 3 of the State Security Act, Chapter 111.
All suspects earlier this week were charged with spreading hate speech related to last weekend's alleged abduction of opposition lawmaker J.J. Banda, who has since resurfaced. Mwale further said that police have also arrested and charged the two lawmakers, Zulu and Mwangaba, along with Pole, with the offense of proposing a tribal war. In Zambia, espionage charges carry up to a maximum 25 years in prison, while hate speech charges carry a punishment of up to $6,000 in fines and 2 years in prison if one is found guilty. Makepi Zulu, a lawyer representing some of the suspects, all of whom are awaiting court appearances in police custody, called charges unacceptable and demanded immediate courtroom hearings without further delay. Political analyst Boniface Chembe at the University of Zambia has urged political leaders in Zambia from both the ruling United Party for National Development and the opposition to focus on improving the lives of ordinary Zambians.
We need to do more as a country. Our citizens need to demand more from their political leaders to focus on issues, the many, many issues from the economic difficulties, infrastructure, provision of services that the people need, among several other issues that are there.
Earlier this week, President Hakainde Hichilema issued a stern warning saying that anyone promoting hate speech and tribalism to disturb social peace will face the full force of the law. Thursday's arrests come barely a week after opposition Patriotic Front Secretary General Rafael Nakachinda was sentenced to 18 months of hard labor for violating a now-defunct presidential defamation law stemming from his December 2021 allegations that Hichilema had coerced and intimidated Zambian judges into politically favorable rulings. Human Rights Watch said Nakachinda's sentencing has had a broad chilling effect on the right to freedom of expression in Zambia. Kathy Short, VOA News, Lusaka, Zambia.
At least 37 million young people around the world, 13 to 15 years old, use some form of tobacco. This is according to the World Health Organization, which says to protect young people from harm, countries must restrict the marketing of new and emerging tobacco products. Maureen Ojiambo reports.
As the world marks World No Tobacco Day today, Friday, there are at least 7 million young tobacco users across Africa. This year, the theme of the World No Tobacco Day is protecting children from tobacco industry interference, highlighting the need to prevent future generations from being the target for tobacco advertising. The WHO and public health activists around the globe are coming together to raise awareness about the harmful influences of the tobacco industry on youth. Rudiger Craig is the director of the Department of Health Promotion at the World Health Organization.
This year's World No Tobacco Day is focusing on children and young people. They are calling unanimously for governments to protect them from tobacco use and from these novel products like e-cigarettes. They are saying, you will be remembered whether you have helped us and protected us or not. So adults should listen and governments should act.
The World Health Organization links some forms of cancer, infertility and heart diseases to tobacco use. Tobacco smokers are 22 times more likely to develop lung cancer than non-smokers. Craig says tobacco companies are luring young people into smoking by making their products cheaply available and employing advertising tactics that appeal to children and adolescents through social media.
So the tobacco industry actually has some outrageous tactics. They're giving free samples to kids at sports events and concerts. They're paying social media influencers. And they have partnerships with food delivery services so that you can get your e-cigarettes through the app right at your door.
Tobacco products such as electronic cigarettes and nicotine pouches are gaining popularity among the youth. It is estimated that at least 12% of adolescents in European region used e-cigarettes in 2022 compared to 2% of adults. The WHO says governments and anti-smoking activists must protect the current and future generation by holding the tobacco industry accountable for the damage it inflicts on young people.
We are calling on all governments to regulate or ban e-cigarettes and novel products. See, there's 16,000 flavors. Bubble gum, you know, vanilla ice cream, cookies, all aimed for children.
Even though cigarette smoking has decreased over the years due to the remarkable efforts by the tobacco control community, the WHO says a lot must be done to safeguard the youth. WHO Africa says countries on the continent are experiencing an increasing rate of tobacco use globally. 80% of tobacco smokers live in low and middle income countries, with tobacco deaths projected to double before the year 2030. For VOA Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in San Francisco.
The World Bank on Thursday approved the first of three budget support packages for Kenya worth $1.2 billion to help the East African country address short-term fiscal pressures and accelerate green policies. The bank said in a statement that the funding had been agreed amid an improved macroeconomic environment following government efforts to address liquidity pressures, depressed investor confidence, and limited capital inflows that had resulted in a rapidly depreciating shilling. It is time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport with basketball. Libya's Al-Ahly Benghazi and Angola's Petro de Luanda will contest the final of the 2024 Basketball Africa League BAL on Saturday, June the 1st. BAL doubleton Al-Ahly Benghazi defeated Nigeria's Rivers Hoopers 89-83 in overtime in Wednesday's first semi-final at the BK Arena in Kigali, Rwanda, while Angola's Petro de Luanda beat South Africa's Cape Town Tigers 96-86. Nigeria's Hoopers, meanwhile, will have a chance to make a medal home in Friday's third-place game against Cape Town Tigers. Boris Kadjo, actor and producer, sums up his Basketball Africa League 2024 experience at the BK Arena in Kigali, Rwanda.
I have really enjoyed myself 24/7. Just, you know, the entertainment factor. Because, look, you got to remember that the narrative about Africa hasn't always been the greatest. And basketball is a huge part of that, because basketball is culture and basketball is entertainment. So I've just been marveling at everything and everybody here. And I can't wait to see, you know, more progress and growth and over the next 5 to 10 years.
In athletics, it was just a little over a week to go before the much anticipated 19th edition of the Kigali International Peace Marathon, slated for June 9th, over 4,000 athletes have registered for the marathon. Registration, which has been open since February, continues to attract athletes interested in competing at the running race, which will take place for the first time since it was upgraded to World Athletic Elite Label up from World Athletics Label. The athletes registered for the June running event include 1,794 from Rwanda and 2,984 international athletes. In football news, African nations will resume their road to qualification for the FIFA World Cup 2026 next week. Match Day 3 and Match Day 4 of the qualifiers will be played between the 5th to the 11th of June 2024. 9 African teams are guaranteed to compete at the World Cup. Another will participate in the playoff tournament, as the global showpiece will host 48 teams for the first time ever. Winners of each group will automatically qualify for the FIFA World Cup 2026. The four best runners-up from the groups will play in the CAF playoff tournament. And also swimming, where foreign junior swimmers have been invited to compete in the Tanzania Junior Swimming Championships, which will be held on the 22nd and the 23rd of June 2024 in the city. This was revealed by Tanzania Swimming Association Secretary General Violeta Itatiro. Violeta said they have decided to give foreign swimmers a chance to feature in the event to make it more competitive and challenging. And that's it for this Friday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a nice weekend. And that's it for this Friday, May 31st edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your week with us. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Barthe in Washington, wishing that you will have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday morning.
The Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
We are bringing women voices to the conversation on things that matter to the hearts and minds of women. From right here in the nation's capital to on the ground from all continents. We hear your voices. Our voices. Right here on VOA on Wednesdays at 9.